First Up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Kurolnik and Carlo Koliakova with you until 9:30 when Brendan Dunlop and Paul Dolan will take over. It's the pregame for the FIFA World Cup here on TSN 1050. Japan and Croatia, 10 a.m. Brazil taking on Korea Republic at 2 o'clock. And we'll bring in Brendan Dunlop in just a moment here, and maybe we'll bring him into this conversation we were having during our commercial break. We're talking about Kylian Mbappe, his unbelievable performance over the weekend and throughout the World Cup so far. He's not even 24 years old. He's scoring at just a prolific rate. He's been incredible for France, and that game against England on Saturday is going to be something special. So, Brendan, let's bring you in on this. If you were to start your World Cup team with any player on the planet, is it Kylian Mbappe right now?
I still can't believe your commercial conversation is not about Spros. Everyone's talking about soccer now? Everyone's talking about soccer all the time. This is my dream, boys. I love it. I'm glad that the world saw the brilliance of Kylian Mbappe because it's been a lot of drama at PSG. And if you follow the club level, you may actually be kind of sick of him. But as a player, he is absolutely brilliant. And to be honest, to answer that specific question, it's between him or someone who's not at this World Cup and Erling Haaland. And based on how he performs on the biggest stage, at, yes, not even 24 years old here, having scored the amount of goals that he has in World Cups and being a World Cup winner, it's hard not to pick Erling Haaland because of that experience. Or excuse me, not to pick Kylian Mbappe because of that experience.
Wow, Erling Haaland, Man City star. He's Norwegian, correct?
He is Norwegian, yeah.
So they're not in the World Cup.
They'll be here in 26, though. Norway's got something good building. They will definitely be here in 26.
Nice. Well, while we're on the topic of Mbappe, how about those two goals he scored yesterday? Rockets. Unbelievable.
The composure, the patience to be able to slow the game down to do that. I mean, he looked like he was playing a video game, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like he wasn't even firing at his full level, and it was magical. It was like he was buffering at 83%, and we just got that.
Incredible.
He's a magical player, and it's crazy. I said this to Doli during our show yesterday. Are we running out of ways to talk about this guy?
Like, no kidding.
He's just magnificent. He's unplayable, unstoppable down the side. He's just got so many weapons, and you can see like that right foot. And really, for me, the measurement is the way he slows the game down. Very few guys can do that at that level the way he can. Really, Messi, Ronaldo previously, there's not too many guys that could do it that way, which is what makes it so special to watch. And, I mean, France as a team right now, after conceding that first goal to Australia, and everyone thought, oh, the curse lives on, the defending champion's going to crash out in the group stage. Look at them now. I don't know if anyone can stop them now.
We're in conversation with Brendan Dunlop, the host of the World Cup here on TSN 1050. France's opponent this coming Saturday will be England, who beat Senegal 3-0 to advance to its second straight World Cup quarterfinals. But there's a really scary situation that has emerged with Raheem Sterling of the English team. He's left the World Cup to go back home because there was like, can you explain the situation, Brendan, to us? Because I think there was some kind of break-in armed robbery with his family, so he went back home to attend to that. What's going on with that, and what's the likelihood we see him again in this World Cup?
Yeah, it's really an unfortunate story. This has kind of been a trend with soccer players, honestly, since the 70s. Very prominent players, oftentimes when, yes, they're notably away, that their homes are broken into. It's obviously terrifying and horribly scary when family members are involved, so can understand why the team immediately would, you know, allow him to leave and be with his family, and can all understand how, you know, a player's mind would be elsewhere and not be but the task at hand in the World Cup. Totally understandable. So, yeah, wishing him and his family all the best, and I honestly hope that we're not talking about more stories like this for the rest of the World Cup, because it really is unfortunate that it's kind of a trend with soccer players internationally in general.
Yeah, it really sucks, and hopefully everything with him and his family is going to be A-OK, and maybe we do see him return for the big match on Saturday. But a big match this Saturday morning was the U.S. and Netherlands, and the Netherlands, you know, handily beat the U.S. 3-1. Were you surprised to see that type of result, considering some of the momentum the U.S. built going into that match?
I wasn't surprised to see that scoreline in the end. I was surprised in how it played out, because the Dutch actually played the reverse style that they usually play, where they allowed the States to dictate the pace. And then it was just their skill and their quality that won outright, which for anyone who watches Dutch total football, that was a shock to the system. But they did it so well, which just shows the cohesion that they have and how the evolution that this Netherlands side has had. You know, they missed the World Cup 4 years ago. At the Euros, they perhaps disappointed. There was a lot of conversation about the manager at the time. They've changed the manager. They've gone with Louis van Gaal, who's 71. He's coming off a big cancer scare. He's definitely out there just living his best life from his comments and the way he's got the team playing. They really are just kind of playing free-flowing football, but not in that Dutch way that we're used to, which I think is what makes them particularly dangerous. For the States, it's unfortunate because they're coming up against a giant that they were always going to be outclassed by. You know, they needed a moment of brilliance. Finishing was definitely their issue at this World Cup. They should have beaten England if they had been able to score, if there was a Landon Donovan, if there was a marksman up front that could finish, someone like a Harry Kane that you can rely on to score, maybe things are different. You know, if Christian Pulisic scores in the first 10 minutes, that could be a totally different game. But that's just not how it played out, and the Dutch were just too strong in the end. So for the States, I don't think that they need to hang their heads, you know, really low, because the future for them is bright as well, much like Canada. They've got a very good young core. Jedi Robinson, someone who doesn't get talked about enough, playing at Fulham, the fullback there, he is excellent. Tyler Adams is a captain at 23 years old. I think you guys played the clips of him responding to Iranian journalists and just the class and composure that he has. There's a very, very good core on that United States team. And come 26, you know, that rivalry between the United States and Canada, that's going to be something special.
We're joined by Brendan Dunlop. And Brendan, so we have two quarterfinals set. We have Netherlands versus Argentina and England versus France coming up this weekend. And in the four remaining games, Japan and Croatia play today. Brazil, South Korea play today. And then tomorrow, it's Morocco versus Spain and Portugal versus Switzerland. Out of the games we've seen so far, it's been as expected, with the big dogs winning. Of the four matches remaining, who do you think has a chance to provide the upset that the whole world loves seeing?
Well, Japan pulled off two of the biggest upsets at this World Cup in beating Germany and then in beating Spain to win the group, which not a single person would have predicted that Japan could have topped the group. Coming up against Croatia, you know, they're the first place team, but in a lot of people's eyes, Croatia are very much the favorite. So it's not a true underdog story. But Croatia will line up as the away team, as the second seed. So on paper, it will look like an upset when Croatia win today, which I see that happening, just because that midfield is too strong. And we saw it against Canada, how, you know, they allowed themselves to kind of grow into the game. Canada caught them early, and it just woke them up. And that's kind of how Croatia play in general. That's how they got to the World Cup final 4 years ago. This is a very different team. This Croatian side is not as good as that team from 4 years ago, without a doubt. But Luka Modric is exceptional. And the rest of that team, you saw how they came together after getting, you know, slapped in the side of the face by Canada there, to then go and punch Canada in the mouth. I think they'll be able to do the same against Japan. So it's not a total upset. I think the other ones are going to go the way we expect them to. Switzerland may trouble Portugal, but I think Portugal is just too strong. With or without Ronaldo, this Portuguese team is good enough to win the World Cup, in my opinion. Admittedly, Carlo, maybe my mildly biased opinion. But I don't think we're going to see any upset on that side of the bracket, which sets us up for a Portugal-Spain quarterfinal, which is very appetizing.
So I'm glad you mentioned Japan, because that's a team I sort of highlighted today because of the two teams they beat, both Spain and Germany in the knockout stage, in the group stage. But a team right now that intrigues me is Morocco, and you can probably explain more. It just seems like the games they play in, the environment is so hostile and is such a home crowd for them. Do you think that can play a factor in their matchup against Spain?
Absolutely. The Moroccan fans, the atmosphere is insane. I've been to Champions League finals. I've been to European Championship finals. I've never quite experienced that. I was sat next to the DJ booth in the Moroccan end, essentially, for that Canada match. And my ears are still ringing, guys. Like, the whistles were incessant. I've never experienced anything like it. Every single time Canada touched the ball, 35,000, 40,000 people with this, like, you know, junior hockey coach whistle, but they were all doing it at like a higher pitch level. I can't even replicate it myself. You put your two fingers in your mouth. I have no idea how in unison they were all able to do this. You know, North Africa and the Middle East traveled really well to Qatar to support their teams. When I was on with you last time, I said Saudi fans packed the subway wearing Tunisian scarves and flags cheering on Tunisia, and then they cheered on Saudi Arabia at night. You know, the whole region had come out, and it's easier travel for Moroccans, and there are Moroccans everywhere as well, so they can make the flight from other distances. And I think that as the tournament has gone on, only more and more Moroccans have arrived in Qatar, and they've made for an incredible atmosphere at those games.
Brendan, thank you for doing this, buddy. We appreciate the time. Again, it's Japan and Croatia at 10 a.m., Brazil and Korea Republic at 2. You and Paul Dolan will have the pregame coverage starting at 9:30 a.m. Enjoy. Good luck in the broadcast. We'll talk to you maybe later this week.
Yeah, for sure. I got all the time in the world for you guys. Thanks, man.
Awesome, right, buddy. Thanks, man.
You're the man. Brendan Dunlop. Again, he's the host of the World Cup coverage here on TSN 1050. Which I believe concludes on December the 18th. Oh, less than 2 weeks left of the World Cup. So you got to savor every moment because it really is just so much fun. And I've been really, really enjoying the tournament to this point. We'll do our winners of the weekend on the other side. And Davis Sanchez, his name will most certainly come up. Our colleague at TSN hit one of the fattest parlays you will ever see. So congratulations to him. He's always a winner, but this weekend, more so than any other. Our NFL analyst, Mark Dominic, in about 20 minutes as well. More First Up after this.